Blog Talk Radio.
Bags with unscented odor block technology help neutralize odors and stop the stinkies. With unscented odor block technology.
Hey everybody, this is your girl Chinchilla Genesia, and welcome to another segment of New Forum. Today is Sunday, August the 1st, 2021. Tonight on News Forum, Nightmares Behind Prison Walls, with my special guest, Cynthia Alvarado, who spent 12 years wrongfully behind bars for murder, a murder she did not commit. Here's Cindy's horrific story tonight on News Forum. So, don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. News Forum with Chinchilla J. We'll be right back after this.
I was ending my life, and that's why I'm an abolitionist today, and I fight to end solitary confinement, because we are a mean society. We are mean, and the people that are inflicting trauma are the same people that are watching over us.
Hi, this is Chinchilla Jonesia here at the BA Voice Criminal Justice Reborn Rally. And with me, I have Cynthia Alvarado, and she is here today to be a voice, but I just want her to introduce herself.
My name is Cynthia Alvarado. I am a wrongfully convicted woman from Philadelphia. Philadelphia sentenced me to die in 2010. I went upstate. I decided to fight, and I won on my last appeal, which was my federal habeas corpus. And I've been home now for a little over a year. I came home through the pandemic. And I'm here today with you. Thank you for the opportunity. I fight for my sisters that I left behind and for the injustices that our system, you know, currently is dealing with. And I'm hoping that my message could change some minds today.
And what I awesomely love about Cindy, like, you know, we're both petite women. We're both short, yes. But, you know, we're short and we're mighty, okay? We may be petite, but, hey, we have a loud, loud voice. And we are speaking out today, being a voice for justice.
Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls airs every Wednesday night at 8 p.m., live streamed on Facebook at Mike, M-I-C, Test, T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV. Nightmares Behind Prison Walls airs every Wednesday at 3 p.m. at Mike Test Entertainment TV. This Wednesday, August 4th at 3 p.m., Cynthia Alvarado will be the featured story. At 8 p.m. on Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls, the story of Eric Hayes, told by his sister, Monique Hayes. Friday, July 23rd, 2021, at the Be a Voice Criminal Justice Reborn Rally in South Philadelphia, hosted by Mike Test Entertainment TV and News Forum anchor Chinchilla Jonesia. Pennsylvania historical exoneree Vincent Moto was recognized as such by State Representative Regina Young on his 25th anniversary of freedom. Take a listen.
We have done you wrong. I can say that I'm a legislator, so the state has done you wrong. You are incarcerated, and you have lost so many years of your life. You deserve this simply because we are recognizing you as a Pennsylvanian's historical exoneree for being the first to be exonerated through advent of DNA evidence, criminal case in 1996.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to go to the bottom. The Pennsylvania House of Representatives and the Honorable, well, that's me, Regina Young, who recognizes Vincent Moto for being the first wrongfully convicted person in Pennsylvania to be exonerated through the use of DNA evidence. His activism ensures that other wrongfully convicted Pennsylvanians receive justice through comprehensive policy and his continued contribution and to elevate the talents of local artists across Philadelphia. And direct that a copy of this citation, sponsored by me, Pennsylvania 185th Legislative District, office for the moment to advocate for people so that nobody else will have to have that experience. And when advocacy happens, we're all on the same team. So use the people who you have on your team. So with that, here you go.
Wow, I wasn't expecting this.
You deserve it.
Thank you so much. I want to say, this should go to my mom, because my mom, if it wasn't for her, I'd probably still be sitting behind bars. Her prayers are so powerful. My mother's prayers are just incredible. I thank you very much again, Representative Young, for this right here. I wish my mom was here today, but she's with my sister. And I thank Chinchilla Jonesia for all that she's been doing. And I know she had something to do with this, because I just know. And I thank you all. And I love you all. And thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you, Pennsylvania's 185th District, State Representative Regina Young. You can still show Vincent Milto some love and support by cash apping him $25 to commemorate his 25th year of being exonerated, quarter of a century of freedom. His cash app, $MatticMan. 2017. That's $MATIC MAN017. Newsform is a syndicated radio show with over 8.2 million listeners worldwide. Newsform is brought to you by the ONE Network and Looking Glass Entertainment. I am your host, Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web and you would like to comment, talk, or vent, you must dial 516-453-9133. Again, the number is 516-453-9133, and press 1. If you're already listening via phone and you would like to talk, comment, vent, or ask questions, press 1. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
In 2019, God was so good to give me back my life.
Amen.
I won my federal habeas corpus. Less than 1% of the population wins. So I need you guys to know how serious that is. My victory doesn't happen very often. It needs to happen more, but it does not. You guys all know that as a poor Latina who went round one with the court and lost, I wasn't going to go back to trial. So what did I do? I was boxed into signing a murder deal just to get out. Just to be afraid to go back to court. That's what our system does. It gives you no choice but to sign a deal so that you can leave the hell that's around you. And I'm here because, listen, I'm an American, but don't be fooled. That Constitution that we love so much doesn't apply to everybody.
All right.
Sorry to hit you with the new set, but it's real. I'm here for my comrades who are facing death by incarceration. I represent my comrades who are doing life without parole.
All right.
Those are the women who mentored me. Those are the women who told me not to end my life on the days when I wanted to kill myself. Those women that are labeled killers, 30, 40, 50 years, were like my mother, my sister, and my comrade.
Right.
And every day I
All
think
right.
about them. This is why I do what I do.
That's right.
Like
That's
I said
right.
earlier, there's a lot of Cynthia yeah. Alvarados, trust me. They just never won their federal appeals. There's innocent women that are dying. There's wrongfully convicted women. But more importantly, we have a system that's being criminalized for being poor. Listen, what happened to me was the worst thing that could have ever happened to me in my life. But I can say that I did not allow them to take my dignity or my strength.
All right.
I refused to give them that when I was upset because they took too much. And I want them all to know, if you're watching this right now, that you arrested the right woman. Thank you, Philadelphia Homicide Detective, for arresting me. Because I will not stop until I see death by incarceration end.
All
right. Until I see parole for my comrades who are deserving. Until the governor decides to commute more women and men. It violates all of your constitutional rights. Do not be fooled. It is unconstitutional, and this is why I do what I do, because they are breaking the law every day.
Yes.
With that being said, I love you, and I thank you for listening to me. I'm just a regular girl. I'm nobody but a girl who fought and who now wants to help her community. I love you all. Thank you.
You too.
And now, back to our live scheduled broadcast of News Forum with Chinchilla J.
All right. Everybody, hey, hey, this is August the 1st, 2021, and I am Chinchilla J. This is the very first Sunday in the month of August. This is the eighth month of the year. There's only four more months left. What have you been doing this year? Wow, this year has gone by very fast, and this is the eighth month. The number eight represents new beginnings, and it's not too late for you to have a new start, a fresh start, a new beginning. Starting today on August the 1st, 2021. And guess what else? This month is my month. It is Leo season. And I am a Leo. My birthday is August the 12th. For those of you that would like to show me some love, hey, you can show me some love all week long, all month long, because this is my month. So, hey, show me some love. And you can do that by messaging me on Facebook, and I'll let you know how. You can send me some money, or you can send me whatever you want to send me. Flowers. Well, no, not flowers, but money will be just fine. But anyway, we have a wonderful guest tonight, and you heard her speak at the Be a Voice rally in the opening, and this woman has been through a lot, so much, for those 12 years that she was wrongfully incarcerated for murder. Yes, you heard it right, for murder, second degree felony murder, a murder that she did not commit. But what she went through, no woman should have to experience that anywhere, especially not behind bars, when behind bars she's supposed to be protected in there. But we'll hear from her and find out all that happened to her, this horrific nightmare that she experienced for 12 long years. 12 long years, everybody. But before we go to Cindy, I just want to give you guys a little briefing on another exoneree, another exoneration, a man that was wrongfully convicted. He was freed. He was just freed yesterday. He was convicted for 30 years. And guess what? For all of these years, for 30 long years, they had evidence that was on file for more than 30 years that could have freed him a long time ago. As a matter of fact, it not could have only just freed him, but it could have, like, had him be found innocent and not be convicted. But this man is Curtis Crossland, and guess what? He is another Philadelphia wrongfully incarcerated person. And that is so very sad. He spent more than three decades behind bars, and he has five children. One of his children was only 2 years old. His son was 2 years old when he was wrongfully arrested, and he never got to know his dad. So now they have years, hopefully many years, that they can spend together. And Curtis is the 22nd exoneration that DA Larry Krasner has exonerated through his Philadelphia Conviction Integrity Unit ran by Patricia Cummings. So in 1991, Curtis was found guilty of second-degree murder. Now listen, this is the same thing that our guest tonight was found guilty of, second-degree murder. Okay, so second-degree murder, robbery and possessing an instrument of crime in the 1984 killing store owner. Wow. Congratulations, Curtis. And to your family. And Curtis has, guess how many grandchildren? 32. He has five children and 32 grandchildren and a fiance. And his family, they're so excited that he is now free. All right. With that being said, let's now go to our special guest, Cindy Alvarado. Cindy, how are you tonight? And welcome to News Forum.
Wow, Chinchilla, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on. Hello to everybody who's listening. Super excited to speak to everyone and tell them how corrupt our system is. So if you want to begin, sister, in guiding me, let's go.
All right. I know you're ready. This has been long overdue. I know you're ready. Yes. Like you said, you know, we're going to talk a lot tonight, y'all, because, you know, corruption, police corruption, you know, prosecutorial misconduct, all kinds of stuff, egregious behaviors and all that, and ineffective assistance of counsel, everything, you name it, is in Cynthia's case. We're going to talk about her case, you know, what led her to being convicted, and then we're going to go from there to when she was convicted and imprisoned and what happened to her there and her fight for freedom. So, Cindy, start us off right by telling us what happened that night in question.
Okay, so first I want to start off by saying that a year before my arrest, I was in a fatal car accident with my uncle who was driving, and he succumbed to his injuries, and unfortunately he died. I broke my pelvis, and with that being said, I was prescribed opioids by the doctor, and, you know, like many others, I became addicted to opioids. Unfortunately, at the time of my incarceration, there was black and brown communities suffering from addiction to opioids, but it wasn't taken so seriously because it has not yet affected the white community, you know. And so with that being said, what landed me in prison was my addiction to pills, which was prescribed to me by a doctor. So on the day of the crime, I simply went to a park in North Philadelphia to self-medicate. And I was trying to buy Xanax, and everything just went sideways. Something horrific happened. I was in my car, and the next thing you know, I just hear gunshots. And, you know, being raised in North Philadelphia, hearing gunshots is very normal. And, you know, unfortunate to say, we have become desensitized to those types of things. I seen a crowd running. I seen my co-defendant running. I told him, get in the car. We left. As soon as he gets in the car, I asked him, you know, did you hurt somebody? Did somebody, you know, was somebody killed? Was somebody shot? He said, no, just drive. I drove away that night, and, you know, when I left the park, I did not know that somebody was hurt, you know. And we went on the day, like, just a regular, normal day. And, you know, what I didn't know was that, you know, somebody was murdered in the park that day. So at 10 o'clock that night, I was in my house, normal, you know, just living life, not knowing that I was on the run for murder. My house was surrounded by homicide detectives, you know, and I was a suspect in a murder that happened in North Philadelphia. I was arrested and I was taken into custody. They never read me my Miranda rights. They put me in the police car and they drove me down to the roundhouse in the homicide unit. That's where I encountered a dirty cop by the name of Ronald Dove, who was my interrogating officer. And, you know, at the time when I had arrived to homicide, the witnesses who, you know, were at the park when the crime happened knew me from my neighborhood, and they knew that at the time, you know, I was working in a gentleman's club. I was a single mother. I, you know, I come from poverty, and I was doing everything to get myself out of poverty. So Ronald Dove exploited the reality that, you know, I worked in a gentleman's club, and he already had that knowledge from the people that were the witnesses. So he was basically being very inappropriate with me, and he was basically, he wanted a quid pro quo. He wanted for me to do a favor for him, and he would really me. He told me that I was going home, and that was never the case. I spent 23 hours chained to a chair. I was denied, you know, uses of the bathroom. I was freezing cold. And, you know, they just kept telling me, you're going home, you're going home. And the next thing I knew, they told me to stand up and turn around that I was being charged with murder. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing because I never even, you know, left my car. I never knew somebody was killed. And it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare, but I was in a state of culture shock. And in a state of culture shock like that, your mind starts to bend. You know, I was threatened by the police that I would never see my children again, you know. And I just kept telling them, I just want to go home. I want to go home to my daughters. And, you know, they didn't care. They arrested me. I went to the county jail, where I spent 240 days in solitary confinement. That's when I started to encounter suicidal thoughts, because in solitary confinement, you're alone. You know, there's no one there to tell you, hey, don't kill yourself. You know, there's no one there to say you're alone. You have no resources, no one to talk to. And I started to battle with a lot of suicidal thoughts, and I had to fight those thoughts every day. Something really, really bad happened when I was finally released into general population of the high custody unit at RCF. My co-defendant escaped on Thanksgiving Day. And when that happened, I was picked up in general population by, you know, a bunch of correction officers. And I was placed into handcuffs, and they took me to the hold. At that time, I had no access to television, so I was completely oblivious to the fact that he had escaped the county jail. I was taken back to the hole where I lived for 4 months, where the police commissioner at the time put me in there. Not only did he put me in there, but he named me in the newspaper as the co-defendant to the escapee, making me a target to the police inside of the jail. I was physically abused on every visit with my mother when I was undressed. I was punched in my stomach. I was poked. And, you know, every time I talk about it, it's very emotional, because I had to live in fear. Not only was I, you know, fighting for my freedom, I was afraid that these guards were going to kill me in retaliation for my co-defendant's escape. When I was released out of solitary confinement, an officer took it upon himself to sexually assault me. He not only sexually assaulted me, but he assaulted my spirit. You know, I was away from my children, fighting for my freedom, and he didn't care about any of that. All he cared about was pleasing himself. And at the time, because my co-defendant was just captured, I was scared to come forward. So not only was I about to go to trial and fighting for my life, I had to live with this secret that this man just have raped me in a condemning closet, you know, on the high custody unit. And he is right now a free man. Right now, you know, I have no legal recourse. There has been no justice for me. I am seeking that justice, and I hope that, you know, tonight my message, I'm able to spread some awareness. But long story short, I went to trial. You know, I exercised my Sixth Amendment right to a fair trial, believing in the Constitution and believing in our system. And the worst thing happened to me. I was convicted, and I was sentenced to life without parole. Before my jurors convicted me, they actually were deliberating for 3 days, and they kept asking the judge, can she be guilty for solely aiding after a crime was committed? In them asking her that question, they were basically telling her that they only believed that I was guilty after the fact, which does not constitute accomplice liability. The prosecutor decided to interject her opinion, committing prosecutorial misconduct, erroneously, you know, responding to the judge, telling the judge not to respond no, because I was an accomplice, because I drove him away, you know. And the judge decided to listen to the prosecutor, Beth McCathery, and instead of answering no, which was the legal response, she decided to change her mind to it could. 20 minutes later, the jury deliberated, unguided, deliberated without any guidance, and they convicted me as an accomplice to murder for solely aiding after a crime. I was sentenced to life without parole. I was taken back to the county where I was in a deep depression, waiting to be shipped upstate. I wasn't showering and I wasn't eating, and I felt like I was kind of like dead, to be honest. And a psychologist came to visit me, and she quickly identified that what happened to me was wrong. She told me that she knew I was innocent and for me to fight when I got upstate. So when I got upstate, I was battling a depression. And again, I wasn't showering. I didn't have energy to even get out of my bed. But I kept hearing that voice over and over and over again in my mind. So I decided to push myself out of bed, you know, shower, drink coffee, and I decided to fight. And that's when I started to read about different philosophies, and I started learn about the law. And that's when I started to become, you know, the jailhouse lawyer that I am today. With that being said, I lived in a state prison altogether for 12 years. It was the worst experience of my life. I've seen many innocent women deny medical care, deny meals. I've seen them die of things that could have been prevented. Women that I knew personally put bags over their heads, suffocated themselves, because living in prison is horrible. Many of my comrades, you know, committed suicide while in solitary confinement, and many of them while in, you know, in solitary confinement on the mental ward. They were denied meals and resulted in them also hanging themselves. So I had to live with all of those scars. I had to live with the reality that my system threw me away and, you know, realizing that I was a poor Latina, you know, nobody cared about me, was it made my self-esteem very low. So every day I had to live with, you know, self-mantras like, you are somebody, you know, God loves you, you're a fighter, don't give up. And that's how I was able to survive the hell that I lived in for 12 years. And I told people that I loved, I was like, listen, if I lose my appeals, because I was on my last appeal, I was like, I think I'm just going to end my life. Because I knew that I didn't want to live inside a prison, because when you are inside of those walls, you are not living, you are solely existing. I made a lot of bonds with a lot of my comrades who became like mothers and like sisters to me, and they mentored me, and they told me to keep fighting. I continued to educate myself on the law. I also assisted other women with their legal papers, and I was victorious. On my very last appeal, I won. I won my federal habeas corpus on July 10th of 2019. I called home like a regular call to check on my daughter, and my mom was like, Cindy, did you hear the good news? And I was like, what good news? And she was like, the judge overturned your conviction. I literally cried like a baby on that jail phone. And it's like all the hatred that I had inside for them wrongfully convicting me, for them not caring about me, you know, lying and putting false evidence on me, slowly started to melt. And I started to feel alive again, because all of my prayers aimed to God was that my jury would come forward, that somebody would speak on my behalf. And that's what happened. A year before I won, one of my jurors came forward and wrote a letter on my behalf to the district attorney that he sentenced me to something that he knew I did not do, and that the judge tricked him in, you know, convicting me because he didn't know that I was getting life. So I believe that all of my prayers worked. I believe all of my hard work paid off, and I believe in the human spirit being extremely strong. And the system tries to break me. However, I am victorious because I am free today. I'm an abolitionist, an agitator. I'm very active in the movement, you know, to end death by incarceration and to bring life without parole to an end. With that being said, Chinchilla, I hope I said enough. If there's anything else you want me to elaborate, just please let me know.
Oh, you broke it down perfectly fine, Cindy. Wow, I am just, like, overwhelmed with this story. Now, Cindy, how old are your daughters?
So my one daughter is 20 and the one is 14, and I can say that prison has completely destroyed my relationship with my daughters. I don't know them. You know, they were raised by my mom, and because my mom is poor, she did the best that she could, you know, in bringing my children to see me. However, you know, as the years went on, the visits became less and less, and because of their socioeconomic class, I was very understanding of that. You know, my daughter wrote me so many letters when I was in prison, so we were communicating back and forth, my youngest daughter, via letters. And I have every letter that she ever wrote me. And eventually, as she started to get a little older, the letters stopped. And, of course, I was heartbroken because those letters really kept me going. But prison is a horrible place. It destroys families. It destroys my relationship with my children. And I will never be able to get any of that back. And that's why I do what I do, because there's too many wrongfully convicted people in prison. There's Philadelphia has made too many mistakes under the Lynn Abraham administration and all of the administrations afterwards, including Steph Williams, who was the DA at the time, who was a criminal, who went to the federal prison for, you know, taking bribes from rich people while he was denying all of my appeals. So I can go on and on forever as to how corrupt our system is, but it completely destroyed my relationship with my children. And, you know, I still keep moving forward every day because I'm a positive person and I'm so used to living with, you know, obviously extreme circumstances. So I know how to compartmentalize and just be positive at the same time.
Yes. Okay, so your daughters are now 20 and 14. Your 20-year-old was
yes.
8 when you were wrongfully convicted, and your 14-year-old
yes.
was only 2. She was going to turn.
Yeah.
She wasn't even 2 yet.
Yeah.
You know, this is just so sad and so heartbreaking because a mother's love. I mean, I know that was very tough on you to have like a 1.5 year almost turning 2. I mean, my heart just goes out to you, Cindy. You've only been out now for almost a year now.
A little over a year.
A little over a year.
Right when the world closed down. Yep. Pandemic.
Okay. Okay. And so now that you're out now, your mother raised your children. Now that you're out, you haven't been out that long. So just, keep that same energy and that same faith, you know, that your relationship with your daughters will become close and you will have that bond, you know, because they have to get to know you now. And a mother's love is nothing like anything else. So they will feel your love. They will feel your love and just, you know, keep reaching out, you know, showing them that loving mother, that nurturing mother, you know. And guess what? Believe me, and I'm telling you, believe me, they will reach out to you as their mother and embrace you as their mom, okay?
Real quick, I just want to say, like, the hardest part of being a mom in prison was when my baby was, like, 3 and 4, and she was telling me, like, why don't you invite me there? Why can't I come with you? Or can they just let you out for a little bit? Tell them that you promised you'll be back. You know, those little inquiries that she was making was, like, I cried myself to sleep for the first 5 years, literally every night. I cried myself to sleep, and... We're very devastated.
Wow. And you know, what the system did to you is just really, really terrible. And, you know, and this is what I try to get people to see all the time, like a wrongful conviction and even a rightful conviction, you know, a parent away from their children, it's just so very wrong. And that affects not just the wrongfully convicted person as yourself, but it affected your whole entire family. And this is what a lot of people don't understand, that, you know, your children's lives were changed forever. And your life was changed forever. And this is time, like you said, you can't get any of that time back, you know, at all, seeing your children grow up and being there to see their fears and to comfort them and to advise them and encourage them. You lost all of that time. And it's just very upsetting to me. It's very upsetting. And you also said you had, you know, thoughts of suicide and, you know, all that you were going through in that prison. And it was those women there on death row, those women that were there, life without parole women, that really helped you get through your time in prison. And, you know, and these are the women that you're fighting for today. You know, and like you said, yes, life without parole should end. You know, death by incarceration needs to end because these are people that have changed. Now, mind you, everybody doesn't change. Some people remain the same in prison, but a lot of people change. And everyone that does change deserves a second chance. And so keep on fighting for those women. And, you know, you're out now, and you can definitely continue to be a voice. And I appreciate you being a voice and being a part of Right to Wrong Coalition now and be a voice for Justice Reborn Rally and Tour. And, you know, we're going to take you all over being a voice for women because you know, women, we don't get a lot of recognition as far as the women that are incarcerated. We always see men. It's always men being shown on television, on radio shows, on podcasts. We see so many men, but we don't see women. And I am so glad to have you, Cindy. And, you know, you're going to make a difference in the lives of so many women, so many women.
Thank you.
And I want you to stay encouraged. And those corrupt COs and everything behind those prison walls that took you through hell, they need to pay. They need to be prosecuted. They need to, and everything. So, you know, we're going to see what we can do to help you get, you know, to get justice, to seek that justice, you know, because it is really ridiculous what they've done to you. And we're going to take a caller and stay right there. We're going to take a caller, and then we're going to also bring Caroline on. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight, caller?
Chinchilla, that caller hung up. Continue your show.
Well, we had a caller that wanted to speak, but I guess they were too impatient. Well, if for those of you that would like to speak and you would like to ask Cindy some questions or make some comments or give a word of encouragement, you can do so by pressing 1, okay? You have to press 1, and then we will get you live on the air. But, yes, so, Cindy, now with those COs, now did you make a, like, I'm sure you took notes and probably kept a some type of diary or something. Did you their names? Everybody's names and everything.
So I'm going to tell you something that happens while you're in prison. That way you guys, you know, everybody that's listening knows. In prison, when you are convicted, you become state property. So inmates, we are smart enough to not write anything down because the officers deliberately go through every piece of paper. They're looking for anything. They're looking for anything that you are trying to, you know, put together. And that's what, you know, we don't in prison take notes about stuff like that because we know better. So how I took my notes is what was when I was released. But when I had got upstate, I want to just let everybody know that I had met somebody through the church, and I had prayed for a spiritual advisor, and God gave me the best person that I could imagine. And, you know, at the time when I met her, I was a lifer. I never thought, even though I had hope, Chinchilla, I thought I was going to die in there. Like, I'm just going to keep it real with you because all my comrades around me were dying. You know, and we never seen people leave. So this, it was abnormal. So, you know, I confessed to her about my rape, and I told her everything that I had went through. I cried with her. You know, I couldn't tell my family because I didn't want to hurt my mom. I didn't want to hurt my dad. Like, they was already so hurt that I was in there with life without parole. Like, that shit was just eating at their spirits. So I kept all of that to myself. But, you know, I confided in my cellmate. But it wasn't until I got home and I spoke, you know, to Salim Holbrook, who is, you know, the director of the Human Rights Coalition and Abolitionist Law Center, basically, and asked him, listen, how can I go about, you know, pressing charges against this officer? I contacted many lawyers, and they shut every door in my face. And one thing that I realized was, you know, like Dr. Jo McCorkle, she did a TED Talk on my case. You know, the Me Too movement was making, you know, a lot of noise out here in the world for the free women. But what they fail to realize is that many of the women who live behind the walls cannot consent to sex with the guard. It is completely illegal. We don't have that power because we are being held against our will. So what happens is the officers rape the women because they know they get away with it. You know, this didn't just happen to me. This happens to a lot of women. A lot of my comrades had children while they were in prison. You know, they were raped by guards. And then, you know, they have children as a product of those rapes. So, you know, the Me Too movement, I feel like they dropped the ball when it came to the women inside of the prison walls. And, you know, what I'm realizing now that I did not pass the statutory of limitation, but I believe there was a 7-year statutory of limitation because I believe that it was probably on a federal level. But I'm realizing now that that isn't the case, and I may have some legal recourse. And Philadelphia needs to pay for what they did to me, because not only did they destroy my life, on top of my life being destroyed, like, this man could have gave me HIV. You know, this man could have strangled me in that closet. Like, God knows what could have happened to me in there. You feel me? I wasn't protected, and many of my comrades are in there right now, and they are not protected. So by me seeking justice, I'm not seeking justice just for myself. I'm seeking justice for that next officer who tries to walk a woman to a closet or tries to go into their cell because they have access to our rooms with their keys so that they could think twice about hurting us, you know. And I hope to God that I'm able to make so much noise that they'll remember my name forever.
Yes, yes. We're going to take a caller, Cindy. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
I guess. Hey, Chinchilla. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
This is Angela. I'm calling from Union City. I am enjoying your show tonight. My heart goes out to this young lady. I tell you, I'm over here, I'm in tears. Chinchilla, I thank you for all that you do and for your constant for bringing us this, because people need to know what's going on. We sit by and we continue to sit silently, and we hear this, and we don't want to do nothing about it. So I thank you for what you're doing. I thank Brother O. I cannot stop thanking him enough for providing us this opportunity and this platform for you to come on and share. But thank you for your hard work and your dedication, because you've given this lady an opportunity to come on and share her story. Because thank you for your transparency tonight as well, because you just don't know how many people you are helping. How many people that have family members that's incarcerated, that's behind prison walls, and they need to hear this tonight. They needed to know that there's hope. And I thank you. I thank you that you allowed yourself, even though you went through this hurtful thing, you allowed healing to come so that you can help others. I thank you so much. I don't know you, but I love you from the bottom of my heart.
And I love you too, sister. Listen, I love everybody. I want you to know really quick that when I was convicted, I made a promise to God to protect my heart, you know, when I entered the state prison. And I said, I'm not going to become bitter, and I'm not going to have hatred in my heart towards anybody, not even the people that wronged me. And that's my philosophy, right? I don't want to treat like with like. What they did to me was horrible. They need to pay, right? But I don't want to be bitter, and I don't want to be hateful, because I want to spread a message of love, because love is what heals everything, right? And that's just where I'm coming from. And thank you for your question. And Chinchilla, she's right. You are amazing and giving me this platform when so many lawyers closed the doors in my face when I talked about my rape, and they were predominantly men. And I'm not saying that men, you know, are bad, but I'm just saying that when it comes up to sexual assault, you know, the first thing they want to think is if they're about their careers or what is she saying? Well, what I'm saying is something that happened to me, and I know what happened to me. You feel me? And it was wrong. Yeah. It was the physical assault, I dealt with that shit. But what ate at me inside was that you didn't even think about the reality that I was living without my children, that I was facing life, that I was just tortured and solitary, and you just took it upon yourself to just bring me down even more. That's what ate at me for so many years, and I lived a little bit in bondage because of it. And now that I'm talking about it, I'm able to heal more, because in there you can't trust psychologists, you can't trust therapists, because they write everything down. And since I was going to war with the prosecutors and trying to get my freedom, I know how they play. I know that they'll throw that back against me in court. So I was like in a catch 2020, if that makes any sense.
Wow. Well, Commissioner Angela Thomas-Smith, thank you so much for calling in and speaking with our guest tonight. And thank you so much, Angela. Love you much. We're going to go to another caller. Calling you live on the air with News Forum. How are you?
Hello. How are you tonight, Chinchilla?
I'm fine.
This is Antonia Betts. Fine, thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Antonia Betts. Timing you, and I just wanted to say that you were a great encouragement and support to Cindy, and it's wonderful that you were able to invite her so you can actually get an opportunity for her to tell her story. But I just also wanted to like address Cindy. How are you, Cindy? I know you don't know me, but I will say this much: after hearing your story, all I have to say, that is just insane, the way you were treated. And I hope that you'll be blessed with some consolation at the end of the whole thing. But I know nothing can take back all of the years that you missed, as you said, with your children, and make things just perfect again. I've never heard of anybody until maybe in the past, maybe a few years, who told me what opioids were. Who would have ever believed that opioids were just what had been described as painkillers? And I was thinking, I said quite a few years ago, there were painkillers called Bear, Anacin, Excedrin, but I never heard of it being addressed as a like a street drug or a drug that incapacitated people to the point where it would take them way down. So is it an issue of transferring the painkiller concept and adding something to it that had upgraded it to where opioids is considered now a street drug that can take people down the way it had, you know, tortured many like yourself? But I'm glad to see you survived it. But I hope that people in the future would take heed to when they hear about they need painkillers, they definitely address the doctor about the usage and the dosage and whatever else it takes. But also I wanted to hopefully say, if you don't mind, about all that you were put through. And I said, and who would have ever thought of a lawmaker, a police officer would rape an innocent person and not be able to and still be able to remain on the force? You know, we have, you know, adequate police officers out there, but unfortunately, some of them, they're just human, like the next person who would do something, you know, wrong. Thank God it's not the majority, but it's enough from what you tell me about that. And because to be honest with you, I've heard of people, not many I've heard of, but some may have not told, maybe they're too ashamed that they were raped by an officer. So it didn't make me lose my faith in officers, but it made me realize you better take into consideration they are human beings just like the next person, and you hope that you run into the good ones. You know, but I want to say even more important, if you don't mind, in conclusion, all that you have been put through, to me, is just being short of being considered torture. And I'm glad that you did have a judge that looked at your situation and overturned it, because it was just a God-sent situation. I'm not going to ask you to divulge who the judge was because, you know, we don't want them to be placed under, you know, any scrutiny about, well, they knowing what they were doing or who was the judge that was there before them. I don't want them to have to ever feel it, but I'm glad that that God had touched that judge's heart to make sure that they turned a wrong into right. So you are where you are today, because I have to admit your sense of love seemed to withheld everything. And it's just good to know that your mother, through her struggles, not having much, she believed in you and she made sure your children didn't have any reason to go against you. So God bless you, and I hope you continue your journey as to what you're going to do regarding that whole matter, and take it from there.
Thank you so much. Really quick. My federal judge, I'm honored to say his name, because his name is Joseph Leeson, and he was a United District judge. And when he overturned my conviction, not only did he overturn it, but he vacated it. He threw it completely out. And when his opinion to Philadelphia, he was enraged. You could hear the words in his opinion that he knew that what Philadelphia did, they wronged me. But not only did he throw it out, you could hear it in his writing that he was so pissed about it. You know, so I look at him like a hero, and everybody should know about him, because this was my last appeal. If this man would have never overturned my sentence, you know, I was going to end my life. And before I move on, I want to let, you know, the young lady know that, you know, not only was I sexually assaulted, but I've witnessed the guards bullying my comrades to the point that they ended their own lives. And, you know, not every officer is bad, but a lot of officers that are put into power like that abuse their authority. And because we are so far away from our families in those rural communities, we don't have any outlets, and they take advantage of that. And, you know, that's why I do what I do. Yes, there's good guards, but there's a lot of bad guards as well. And, you know, we need to bring and shed more light on that issue.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Antonio Batts. And Antonio is a host on this network as well. And she's also the, you're going to have to say it. I've forgot now. But anyway, she's awesome, awesome host. And we're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Peace and divine light. This is Asa Atunre. How are you, Chinchilla J and Cindy?
I am fine. How are you, Miss?
I'm doing well. I'm listening to your show, and I first I want to say thank you for bringing this to the platform. And Cindy, I'm listening at you, and I hear the emotion, and you are so, so strong. You're very brave to come out and tell your testimony, and it's just amazing what a lot of people go through and what a lot of people can relate to. And the fact that there's no justice for women, particularly us women of color and different ethnic species, we go through it the worst because there's no one that we can really reach out to. And women, we're very devalued, and we're looked at as sex toys and animals. And when it comes to us being assaulted and domestic situations, when we try to reach out for help, people try to flip it around. And what's sad, a lot of sex trafficking happens through the prisons and the jails. And I haven't went through anything like that, but I've witnessed similar things like that. The only harsh thing that I've ever had to go through in a jail is one day there was a lockdown, and they didn't let us shower. They didn't let the women's side shower for a whole week. And there were several times when I got out of jail, there were several times where I tried to reach out myself to the news stations and to the mayor of our county. And I even tried to write letters to the judge, and I, too, got shot down and got ignored. So I really understand what you're going through with this situation. Don't give up. I don't know who to tell you to talk to, but I do know to tell you to depend more on your own self for the answer and the help, because even we run ourselves into a lot of dead ends when we're trying to help each other in these situations, and we're trying to reach out with this particular thing. You know, it feels like the whole world is against us when we're trying to help our women. So I want to thank you for sharing your story, and I wish you all and the best. And if I can help you in any way, please reach out to me on Facebook. My name is Auset Atunre, AusetAtunre.
All right. Thank you so much, Auset. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. All right. Now, with what you were saying, Cindy, when you talked about the judge, you know, it's wonderful because everyone should know who he is and, you know, what he did. He did something that no other judge did. And, you know, to reprimand the city of Philadelphia in the way he did, it was absolutely awesome. And if we had more judges that were fair and just, such as him, that would be so wonderful. And that's what we have to start looking at when we start to vote people. We need to vote, get some of these other judges out, because there's so many judges that keep winning over and over and over again because people keep voting them back in. Stop voting in judges that are not fair, okay? And get some new blood in there or something, but make sure that they're ones that stand up for justice. We can't have just anybody in there because people's lives are at stake. Their families' lives are at stake. As you can see, what wrongful convictions does, what it does, it just rips families apart. And these are things, some things can never be mended. In the time lost definitely can never, ever be regained. So, you know, it's just a terrible shame. We're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight? All right. We're going to come back
all right.
to you.
I guess they don't know. I guess they don't know. When you press 1, that means you want to talk. So please, guys. Okay?
Yes.
Caller
yes.
number 6.
Okay,
you're on the line right now, News Forum. Let's get it.
Caller, you're live on the air. Speak now or forever hold your peace. All right. Well, we're going to bring Caroline on really quick, and we're going to hear from Caroline about what happened to Cindy, about Cindy's case, and, you know, what's the next step? What can we do to help Cindy? Caroline, how are you tonight?
I'm doing really well, thank you. How are you, Chinchilla?
Fine. So, Caroline, now you heard Cindy's story before. We heard it a little more in detail now. And now what can be done? Like, what are the next steps? How can we help her get some get further justice, especially from these corrupt, horrible rapists and abusers in that prison?
Well, we on a general level, we've got to get rid of the felony murder rule because it's the most unfair statute there is, that people get, often co-defendants get jailed for much longer than the people who actually did the murder. The people who did the murder tend to, want of a better word, implicate their co-defendants, and the people who did nothing apart from just drive the car like Cindy was doing, she had no idea that a murder had just taken place in the park. She had no idea what was going on. And yet somehow she's the one that gets life without parole. It's just the most blatantly
right.
unfair law that there
yeah.
is, and we have to get rid of that.
Yeah.
We also have to get rid of solitary confinement. We heard about how she was in the hole, first of all, for 240 days, and then when her co-defendant escaped, she got thrown in there for another 4 months. And that is torture in and of itself, solitary confinement. It's just inhuman. It just, as you heard from Cindy, it destroys your mind. It plays games with your mind. It takes away all your hope. You're isolated. And, you know, to anyone who's got even slight mental health issues, it can be the end of the road. I mean, it's just so soul-destroying and mind-destroying. So those are two big
yeah.
legal issues. And the third thing that I was thinking about is how, you know, the one thing that isn't highlighted very clearly, and I'm talking in a general sense as opposed to particularly Cindy right now, is the plight of women in jail, because we hear a lot about men in jail. We hear a lot about men and their reentry programs. We don't hear so much about the fact that what women go through in jail. They have very special issues, particularly as regards their families, especially with their children. And we heard about Cindy effectively losing her relationship with her two girls, which is just tragic. It's just awful. And another thing that maybe a lot of people don't know is that incarceration of women is going up and up and up. It's growing twice as fast as that of men right now. And people aren't aware of that. While overall all jail populations are coming down, the proportion of women is going up and up. And when you think about it, a lot of women who are jailed miss their childbearing years. They can't have children, the time where they would be having children is when they're in jail. And as I say, a lot of them who have children already lose their relationships with their children. They're either taken by DHS or brought up by other people. And it's just a huge tragedy that is just destroying families. So those are my comments generally about the plight of women in jail. And then don't get me started about the sexual abuse and exploitation and the way women are objectified by prison guards and completely exploited. it happens a lot. It happened in Cynthia's case. I'm fighting with Cynthia to do whatever we can. I'm just so sorry, Cindy, for what you went through, and I'm so sorry for what women are going through on a daily basis in the U.S.
Thank you, Caroline. Yeah. I love you. You're amazing. I can't believe you're a judge. It's kind of like an oxymoron in my mind because I've been traumatized by so many judges that, you know, there is hope, and people like you is what restored my hope in humanity, and I love you for being, you know, so open-minded and such a brilliant woman. Thank you, Caroline.
Let me say it, Caroline. Cindy just spoke something into, spoke something that is going to come to pass, okay, because Caroline did run for judge, but she did not win. She lost by, 500 or something votes. But she will win the next election when she runs for judge again. But Caroline Turner is a criminal defense attorney, and she is my legal consultant for my podcast and radio show, and she's awesome. And she will be judged. So, Cindy, you just spoke that we can consider that a prophetic word, okay? Because you called her judge.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And,
yes, Judge Caroline Turner. Yes, and
you got
some
my
awesome
vote,
stuff here,
and I'm
going to
be boots on the ground just for you.
Yes,
thank
we
you,
all are. We're going to make sure you win that next election. Okay, stay on the line, Caroline. We're going to go to another caller. Caller, you're live on the Air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Can y'all
hear
me, ladies?
Yes.
Good evening, Chinchilla Queen Sister. How are you this evening?
I am fine. How are you this evening, Derek?
I am well. I wanted to tell your guest, wow, after hearing the story tonight, your guest is definitely an overcomer and a conqueror. I wanted to tell your guest thank you. Thank you for having the courage to tell her story on the show tonight. I'm not familiar with the system the way that she is, but I wanted to tell her thank you for having the courage to speak to injustice, because injustice to any person anywhere is injustice to everyone everywhere. So thank you for what you did tonight, Queen Sister. Thank you, Chinchilla, for giving her a platform to speak her truth. And thank you, O, for just letting us be here to hear this show tonight, man. Y'all are doing a fantastic job. So thank y'all so much for everything. I love you guys.
You welcome.
Love you,
I
too,
love
Jared.
You too.
Thank you so much for calling in. Jared is the host as well on this show, on this network. So this story is just so horrific. And callers, if you're waiting to get on, press 1. Some of you inbox me. Press 1, though, in order to talk. You must press 1. We won't know that you want to talk. Now, Cindy, you said something that was really, like, very disturbing when you were talking about the guards, how they would rape the women, and you know, you guys are considered state property because you're living within prison walls and property, and the guards, they work for the state. So that made them think that they had every right to do whatever they want to do to you, but that is not the case because you still had rights even though you were behind those prison walls. But the very disturbing thing, you said that some of the guards got some of the women pregnant there, and these women had babies from a guard in the prison. And that is very disturbing. And I would like to look into that further and find out where these children are, if these guards are taking care of these children that they have, brought into this world. And, you know, this is just such a terrible thing. This is so sad. And stuff like this happens all the time. We see movies there. Yeah, I remember a movie. I watched years ago at a women's prison, and you know, I saw these kind of things going in that movie, and now to meet someone who has lived through this stuff and has witnessed this type of thing, you know, it's very, very disturbing. people,
absolutely,
you are listening tonight, you all need to really, really grasp what has been shared tonight by Cindy, because these are things that are going on every single day, every single night. Women are experiencing what Cindy has experienced, and some even worse experiences behind these prison walls, and they're still living this nightmare, and it's just not fair, and it just angers me to no end to know that this type of abuse is going on every day and every night to women that are incarcerated,
yes,
right now, whether they're wrongfully incarcerated or whether they're there because they did a crime. It doesn't matter. They should never experience,
yes,
these type of nightmares, and it's just very wrong, and I am upset.
Chinchilla.
I'm very upset about this. Yes.
If I may elaborate real quick, I just want everybody in the audience to know that when I first got upstate, there's a law that was passed, a federal law, Caroline probably knows about it. It's called the Prison Rape Elimination Act. When I was fondled by the men, my breasts were fell, my vagina, you know, and them patting me down for contraband, pulling me over on the walk. So with that being said, before the PREA kicked in, if you accused the guard of sexual misconduct, you were going directly to solitary confinement, no ifs, ands, or buts. Everybody here has to remember that prisons are placed in rural areas. So we are placed in the areas where the Electoral College, like, you know, those Rust Belt states where a lot of black and brown people don't reside there. So first of all, we are not liked. A lot of these crimes that happen against us are swept under the rug by the prison superintendent, and they don't allow the police on the ground. So that's how a lot of this abuse has been going on for so many years. There's plenty of times that I had complained, like, hey, you know, he was patting me down and he saw my breast. Oh, well, you can't accuse a guard, you know, because we're in jail. So automatically we're liars, we're drug addicts, we're bad mothers. So the system has not only, you know, is wronging us, they had our hands tied where we couldn't even talk about these abuses. And then, you know, so they capitalize off of that. They know that we're in rural communities. They look at us like liars. And then you have the factor of nepotism. You have the grandma working there, the uncle, the brother, the daughter. So if the uncle's touching me, you know the mom is going to cover for him. So these crimes are swept under the rug. And that's why when I was released, I made a promise to God, if I don't die inside of this prison, I'm going to sound off on everything that has ever happened to me and everything that has ever happened to my comrades. And I am not afraid of whatever they want to do with me, because yes, they can do a lot to retaliate. They could try to throw me back in prison, but at this point, God has delivered me through too much for me to be afraid.
Yes. I am so proud of you, Cindy. So very proud of you for speaking out the way that you do. And I just wish that more women that were incarcerated, whether wrongfully or rightfully incarcerated, would speak up and speak out and talk about the experiences that they went through. Because so many women are quiet about these issues, and they're afraid to tell people what they experienced behind bars. But people need to know that this stuff, yes, it does go on. It's not just a fairy tale. It's not just a movie that we watch, but it's actually happening to real-life women. And you are a real-life example of what goes on behind these prison walls. And it's just so very wrong. And it's just so very upsetting. And it's really sad. And as Caroline said, we need to put an end to solitary confinement. And people, you all need to get on board to protest, to put an end to solitary confinement. Is just not right. And to abolish second-degree felony murder. With what happens, why are they getting more time than the actual killer? You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, and I get so many people emailing me, texting me, messaging me about cases, and so many of them are in prison right now for second-degree murder. And, you know, and they got more time. And it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And for someone that they consider to be an accomplice to murder that actually did not a thing, you know, these things, it's just so very wrong, so very wrong. And with all of the corruption that's going on, police corruption, police brutality, where people that they arrest, they beat them up before they even put them in prison. And while they're in there, they beat them up some more. This is all so wrong. And the prosecutorial misconduct, the withholding of evidence, and all of this stuff that we see every day in these cases, and cases that Caroline sees, and, you know, it's just a shame. And the case of Pedro Reynoso, who Evelyn Reynoso, who is Pedro's wife, has been on News Forum a couple times, and she's been on the Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls, the podcast, a few times. And with that case, filled with corruption, corruption all over the place. Eric Tay's case, which will be on Wednesday, filled with corruption all over the place. Brian Parnell, who's Karen Penny, is his fiance, told his story here on News Forum. Horrible corruption all over the place. And here's, I'm going to say this, and I say it all the time. Until these prosecutors and these horrible corrupt police officers and even the judges, until they are all prosecuted for their wrongdoing and these wrongful convictions, guess what? It's going to continue to happen because they're not suffering any ramifications from it. They're getting nothing, okay? They're not being put behind bars. They're not paying for the crimes that they've committed. And every wrongful conviction that is placed behind bars, every inmate behind bars wrongfully, as a result, to prosecutorial misconduct, to police corruption, to judicial misconduct, and everything else, each one of those individuals needs to be put behind bars. And here's my thing. Every prosecutor that has wrongfully convicted someone, they need to be put behind bars. But every year that that person has been behind bars, they need to be put behind bars. And so many prosecutors have more than two wrongful convictions behind them, okay? And the ones that have two, if in Cindy's case, 12 years, okay? And let's say historical exoneree Vincent Moto's case, 10 and a half years. So that's 22 and a half years of wrongful conviction for that prosecutor if it was the same prosecutor. So that prosecutor then would have to spend 22 and a half years behind bars, and it won't be wrongfully. It would be rightfully, because they have wronged individuals and destroyed lives and destroyed families. And it just upsets me to no end, because they're not paying for the wrong that they've done. And in most cases, these cities are not even acknowledging anything that they've done wrong. And the states, a lot of states, are not acknowledging that they've done anything wrong. Now, mind you, some states do have compensation laws in place, and, you know, Pennsylvania is just one of 13 that does not. But still, do these states actually offer an apology? Okay, some of them, they're giving money to exonerees, and that's great. But where is the public apology to apologize of the wrong that they've done to these men and women that they wrongfully convicted? They don't apologize, you know. And State Representative Regina Young, she did apologize to Pennsylvania Historical Exoneree Vincent Moto at the Be a Voice Criminal Justice Reborn rally on July 23rd. And that was an awesome thing. Now, here is a legislator who is fresh. This is her first term in office as a state representative in the state of Pennsylvania. And 7 months into office, well, now 8 months, almost 8 months, and she apologized on behalf of the state. Now, where were all these other state representatives that have been in office for years and years? Some of them even have been state representatives when he was arrested wrongfully. And he was exonerated in 1996. And it took all these years to be recognized as Pennsylvania's historical exoneree and to receive an apology from the state. And, it, you know, it was a touching moment. And every exoneree, the state needs to apologize as soon as they're released. The state needs to make a public statement apologizing to these wrongfully convicted men and women, and also the municipalities which were wrongfully arrested and incarcerated. They need to apologize. And, you know, it doesn't make sense. And all of these prosecutors and judges and police officers and detectives need to experience life behind bars just as these wrongfully convicted men and women did. And it doesn't make sense. It gets on my nerves, Caroline. So we definitely have to continue to push and continue to work for these laws to be changed and, you know, reversing this criminal justice system one city at a time, because that's what needs to happen. Reforming is out the window because this criminal justice system has been being reformed for years and years and years and to no avail. So it needs to be totally demolished and reversed. And that's what we're going to do, because this is horrific, it's horrendous, and it is absolutely sad. And we don't have a criminal justice system, but we have a criminal injustice system in this country, which doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. It really doesn't. Caroline, do you have anything you would like to say in closing tonight?
Yeah, I agree with you that the lack of accountability for prosecutors is a disgrace. I believe only one prosecutor has ever been jailed for prosecutorial misconduct. Now, there's a difference between people who are wrongfully convicted because, you know, some prosecutors do believe that the person that they are trying is actually guilty and evidence comes out later. But others know in their heart of hearts that someone is not guilty and they have the evidence and they've hidden the evidence or they haven't produced it. And that's a very different story. And as I say, that I have only ever heard of one prosecutor in the history of the U.S. who has ever been jailed for prosecutorial misconduct. And it's, you know, it's the same story with the police. It's the same story with judges. Simply there just aren't the consequences that there would be in other walks of life if you made such life-altering decisions for people that vindictively were vindictive in that they ended up causing loss of life, loss of human relationships, loss of human rights for all these people. So we do need to keep people much more accountable. That's police, prosecutors, judges, all of us need to keep our system much more accountable.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Thank you so much, Caroline, as always. Love you much. Cindy, do you have any final thoughts?
Absolutely. First, I want to say that I agree with you. The system needs to be completely dismantled. That's why I'm an abolitionist. I want to say that, yes, some prosecutors believe that some people are guilty, but in my case, my prosecutor withheld evidence from me. She knew that the only star witness against me had an open case that she resolved. She granted her immunity for the case she was involved with me, and then she had another case that she caught right before I went to trial. So, yes, they do a lot of dirt. They cover it up, and they are never held accountable. But before I close, I cannot close without talking about Pedro Reynoso, who has been not only wrongfully convicted, he's an innocent man. He won his federal habeas petition, and Larry Krasner has the authority to make it right. I'm calling for him to, if he doesn't, to release him on bail before he winds up dying in prison, because the Phoenix prison right now is currently on lockdown. Yes, I'm asking.
Oh, yes, that's right,
For Mike Lilly, who's in Phoenix as well, who didn't kill anybody, who was just a hack driving somebody away, has life without parole. He also has felony murder. I'm asking Larry Krasner, if you're listening, let these people out. You have the authority with Patricia Cummings. You have the submission form. If you don't, if you want to avoid a lawsuit, allow them to come out where they could plead no contest if that's what they want to do. But to keep holding them in there, you're going to be guilty of murder. These people die because these are innocent men. And as a Latina, I feel really horrible for Pedro Reynoso, and that's why I'm speaking up. For all of the people that are listening, I'm asking that you call the district attorney's office today about Mike Lilly and Pedro Reynoso and all the women from SCI Muncie who did not kill nobody, and hold Philadelphia accountable to release them. Thank you, Chinchilla, for having me. Caroline, I love you. And to all the listeners, you guys are amazing, and it was my pleasure being on.
All right. Thank you so much, Cindy. And, yes, SCI Phoenix, they're on lockdown. They had, I forget it was either 9 or 16 new cases of coronavirus in there. So, you know, it's just so crazy. So they're on a 48-hour lockdown. And some other prisons that are experiencing new cases of coronavirus as well. And it's just a sad thing. And Pedro Reynoso, he is sickly. He needs to be released. He's innocent. He was out of the country when this murder took place. He wasn't even in the United States of America. So, and you all that listen to News Forum, you heard his story before. Those of you that watched his story on the podcast, and, you know, it's just so sad, but yet he is still behind bars, and he needs to be released, and he needs to be released soon. And we pray for all of the wrongfully incarcerated men and women tonight, and keep the faith. All you families that are listening tonight that have wrongfully incarcerated men and women behind bars right now, your family, just keep the faith and continue to pray, continue to believe that they will be released, and continue to fight for them, continue to encourage them. And before we go into Ngozi time, I just want you all to know, keep listening, because right after Ngozi time, I will be right back, and you need to hear tonight's closing so you can find out what's happening next week on News Forum. All right, Ngozi time.
Well, first of all, I want to say something to the young lady. Cynthia, I really, really, my heart goes out to you. Like Antonia Bass said tonight, you are a champion. Like Arset said tonight, you know, these are our hosts. You are, you know, someone to be admired, and your strength will live forever. What our commissioner said tonight, keep holding on, keep pressing on to help those who are in need. I'm CEO of this network, and I'm proud of you to go through the hell that you went through for 12 years. My prayer for you is I hope that it's halcyon days for you and your daughters. You know, I hope that they really understand that you are a champion. You know, right now they're young, you know, 20 and 14, right? And they're young. But when they mature, Cindy, they're going to see you as one of the greatest fighters for justice the world has ever known, and your daughters are going to be by your side. I already prophesied this. Your daughters are going to be by your side fighting with you, side by side, while you up on that podium for justice.
Thank you. That means a lot. You have my tears coming down, because I definitely cried myself to sleep for 5 years thinking I was a horrible mother, when really I was just a product of my environment. I was poor, you know, and I was dealing with a horrible loss of my uncle. So the system didn't even care about me. They didn't care about, you know, my emotion. They never even asked me about what I was going through. So I appreciate you. I commend you as a man for saying that. And thank you so much. And I look forward to working with you guys further. And I love you so much for that. Thank you.
And, you know, I always say to all the guests of ONE Dynasty, come on, listen to other shows, man. You'll be blessed by all the shows at ONE, because we are here. And our mission statement, and Chinchilla knows this very, very, very well, we are here to save lives. And we want to say congratulations to Chinchilla J on her 27th ONE Syndicated Station All-Time Connection record tonight. She is the fastest-pacing new host in history. And now, I mean, way above the record that was set last year, of four championships above that. I'm proud. I'm going to bring Chinchilla Jonesia on, because you got to get people flowers while they are alive. You know, she ain't going nowhere, and I ain't going nowhere either. Chinchilla, you've done a great job with this franchise, a franchise that started in 2013 that I anchored with the help of Antonia Batts and Abraham Dobe, Regine Turner. That was the, you know, the correspondency, and Lovely Ellis. And we did a hell of a job until, you know, we disbanded News Forum when we hired Darlene Lawrence on September 27th, 2013, and she became, of course, a Hall of Famer with Righteous Consciousness. I know you know the story about Darlene. And this show's sat on the shelf. It was dormant until 2020 in December. And you were hired as an intern. We want to thank you for all the things that you have done, ever done for Orny as an outstanding news anchor to this program. And your work will go down in history. And let's forget what Sylvia L. Blaylock said that night in my enshrinement, that, yeah, we do well now, but our greatness will not be known for 20 years down the line. Right, Chinchilla? There was a network like O&E.
Right.
But there was a year and a network like O&E that tried to help somebody as we pass along. As we tried to cheer somebody, sometimes me as a DJ with a word or song. If I can help somebody when I'm traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. And tomorrow night on these O&E stations, come right back on, the young lady that's passed her internship and her first ever show as a new host. Her name is Genesis Amaris Kemp out of Houston, Texas. The name of her show is Gems with Genesis, and it'll be at 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time on these O&E stations. And, of course, Seven Nation has advertising to O&E, which is Ola Dela Ingalls Enterprise. Reach, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as Ngozi Primetime on that, bevnet.com. We're Ngozi Time, both for Twitter and Instagram. Ola Dela Ngozi Paris, Google Plus. Ola Dela Malema goes to your Facebook, as well as our business page, News Forum, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio established 2013. And any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight, oh, late day, late night, it goes from my@gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dela Malema goes to saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there on Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight. And I want one more person before I bring on Chinchilla that's always here for us. And I really admire her. Love to hear her speak. You know, United Kingdom's own. Caroline, we appreciate you coming on the News Forum every week to back Chinchilla up and give good, outstanding knowledge. I don't want to, you know, end this show without, you know, saying thank you for what you do for us. And now, News Anchor Chinchilla J. You have 2 minutes left to go in the program. We're going to play our health ad for you tonight, and then the outro, okay? So stay tuned. You know, I'm telling you, the life you saved might be your own. Chinchilla, 2 minutes.
All right. Yes, I forgot all about that health promo. Forgot all about that. We were so into this heated conversation tonight. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank my special guest tonight, Ms. Cynthia Alvarado, for being very transparent and very outspoken and being a voice, telling her own story tonight and speaking up for women. And that's the right thing to do, people. Speak up. Be a voice. Stop being timid. Stop being afraid. You need to speak up because that's the only way things are going to change, if you be a voice, not be silent. Okay? So speak up. And thank you, Caroline. This is Brother O said. Thank you so much for coming on every week. I love you so much. And I love you, Cindy, and just continue to stay encouraged. Follow her. Her Instagram is Cynthia_Alvarado221. And you can follow her on Instagram. And she is awesome. And she will be on Wednesday at 3 p.m. on the Mike Test Entertainment TV page for Nightmares from Behind Prison Walls. You can see her face-to-face on Wednesday at 3 p.m., y'all. And I'm going to stop talking now because everything else will be said on the health promo and the outro. So listen carefully. That outro is off the chain. All right. I'm your girl, Chinchilla J. Thank you so much for tuning in to News Forum. Be blessed and be productive on purpose.
Are you sick? Are you tired? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, if so, Dr. C and Dr. A can definitely help you get on the road to optimum health today. Yes, you can get well and you can stay well naturally. For health consultations, iridology exams, or product purchases for weight loss, arthritis, sugar diabetes, or whatever else may be ailing you, give me a call at 267-375-9757. Again, that number is 267-375-9757. Here's to your health. And speaking of here's to your health, broadcast live on Saturdays at 1 p.m. To tune in, dial 563-999-3743. Again, 563-999-3743. Here's to your health. Join us next week for News Forum next Sunday, August the 8th at 9:30 p.m. with special guests Dennis and Lee Horton, better known as the Horton Brothers. Until next week, I am Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J. Don't forget, follow me on Facebook and like my page, Chinchilla Jonesia. Chinchilla is with one L. Also, like and follow Mike Test Entertainment TV's page. Mike is M-I-C, the abbreviation for microphone. Also, like and follow me on Instagram at Princess Chinchilla. Thank you for tuning in to another segment of News Forum. If you would like to contact me to find out how you can get your story told on News Forum, please call 844-MIC-TEST. Again, that's 844-642-8378, extension 888, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Or you can email me at Chinchilla Jonesia, that's C-H-I-N-C-H-I-L-A-J-O-N-E-S-I-A, at Mike, M-I-C-T-E-S-T, entertainment.com. Until next week, I am Chinchilla J. Be productive every day. And don't forget to be a voice.